Throughout Scripture, Jesus is often associating with tax collectors and sinners. That's a very common saying of people who he's associating with. And he's being criticized by the Pharisees and the scribes in today's gospel. And in order to justify his actions in associating with tax collectors and sinners, he gives two different parables. The first is over the lost sheep, and the second is over a lost coin. When he starts with the parable of the lost sheep, it seems like he asks a pretty rhetorical question. He starts by saying, "What man among you wouldn't leave 99 sheep to go look for the lost one?" It's kind of a rhetorical question. What man among you? And when I was praying with this, oftentimes I like to put myself into that situation to kind of see, you know, what would it have been like? Imagine I'm sitting right there hearing Jesus preach this to me. And I hear him say that, ask this rhetorical question, "What man among you?" And what I imagined, what I actually thought was, Jesus asked this, and then just kind of gets dead silent, and I'm like, well, I wouldn't. I wouldn't leave these 99 and go search for that one. I would try to argue with Jesus a little. I'd be like, okay, Jesus, I know you're a carpenter. You actually weren't a shepherd. Probably didn't study economics. But do you know that if you leave these 99 to go search for the one, there's a great chance that more than just one from that 99 are going to leave, and you're going to lose more sheep? That's not good. That's bad shepherding. That's actually really irresponsible of you in leaving these 99. Those are worth more than the one. And then he talks about the woman who lost some coins, which is kind of funny because I think it can be pretty applicable to us. We have change in our pockets. Most of the time, I don't really think anything of it, just toss it into a jar. If money would fall out of my pocket, if coins would fall out of my pocket when I'm in the car, I probably wouldn't even look for them. I don't really think about it that much. But Scripture says that she has these coins, and the coins that she had would have been worth 5-10 cents. And says that she turned her entire house upside down looking for these coins. So imagine if I was put into that same exact situation, I lose some coins. I turn my entire house upside down looking for these coins, and I find them. And I run over to my neighbor and I say, "I found my 35 cents. Aren't you happy for me?" My neighbor would look at me and they'd be like, "Okay, you're crazy. That was a waste of time." So these two parables that Jesus has in order to explain why he's eating with tax collectors and sinners, it seems like he proposes someone who is irresponsible in leaving the 99 sheep and someone who's also crazy and also just wastes their time. Doesn't seem like they're being very prudent. And these are the parables that he provides for people who have left, these tax collectors and sinners. It seems like, you know, if Jesus was a coach or if he was mentoring people, it seems like he would take the people who would really understand it and really just focus time on them. Why would he even waste time with tax collectors and sinners, people who have run away, people who he could spend a lot of time on and maybe they just don't even convert. Maybe they just don't take him seriously. It seems like a waste of time. You know, in an age in which we have saints like Mother Teresa and John Paul II, people who really understood the faith, it seems like, you know, if God was a coach or a mentor, it'd be like, yeah, focus on them. Focus on the people who really understand it. But that's not the case. And that's why he had to give us this parable to explain his relationship to us. St. Catherine of Siena, a very famous saint, described God in Italian as pazzo di amore, that he was crazy in love with us. Someone who's pazzo in Italian is a crazy person, just running around the streets, they're crazy. But she described God that he's crazy in love with us. So what seems as something as radically irresponsible and also just a waste of time running after us, she justifies in saying that he does it because he's crazy in love with us, that he wants us, that he sees each soul as incredibly valuable to him. It's not just worth 35 cents. It's not just one sheep versus a couple other sheep. Each person is of immense value to him. In the eyes of God, it'd kind of be like asking a parent who has multiple kids and one kid runs away. And the parents are like, "Well, you know, we have other kids. I guess that's all right." That's what it would be like to God. Or every summer I participate in the Rome pilgrimage, taking a bunch of students to Rome. This last year we had 28 students who went. And it would be like me telling the students, and I always joke around with them, saying there's 27 of you who are here. If I bring back 25 of you, that's still a passing grade. I still did all right. You see, like, that doesn't make any sense. These lives are of immense value, and God is willing to be crazy in love for the people who don't even seem to be attracted to him. He's willing to go to the world's ends just for that soul. So the way in which this is most applicable to our lives, this reconciliation, because we can fall into the temptation of, yeah, I go to Mass, you know, I try to live a pretty good Christian life. But the fact is, we are some, at times, those lost sheep. We are always there. And sometimes we need that shepherd to come back and get us. And the way in which this is most applicable to our lives is through the sacrament of penance. The sacrament of penance is an incredible gift that God gave to us that seems to be just sitting there, waiting for us to take advantage of it. So as I was praying about it, I wanted to talk about some misconceptions about confession, some kind of stereotypes about it. If you see someone go to confession, a thought that pops into your head, and it can be completely innocent, a thought that pops into your head is, you know, what did that person do? Why do they need to go to confession? Or you yourself, when you go to confession, it's very easy to think of, you know, I am at my worst right now. I am completely being vulnerable. I'm exposing myself. I'm saying all the bad stuff that I did. I'm really at my worst. And that's a lie. The truth is that in the confessional, you're at your best. The biggest lie is that we're at our worst in the confessional. And that's a lie. The truth is that we're at our best. It's that moment in which we finally come to the conclusion that I need reconciliation. And I need to reconcile myself back to God. The priest will never, ever look at you at your worst. It doesn't matter what you say. The fact is that there is a penitent person in the confessional. And what do we hear in Scripture? There's more rejoicing over the one person who confesses than over 99 righteous people. That means you're at your best when you're in the confessional. God rejoices more for you going to confession when you're at your best. Padre Pio had a saying, he kind of summed it up in a different way. He said, a sinner who is sorry for their sins is closer to God than the just man who boasts of his good works. The sinner who is sorry for his sins is closer to God than the just man who boasts in his works. Another common temptation in confession is the thought of, I'm good enough and God is merciful. I'm good enough and God is merciful. That may be true. It may be true that I'm good and God is also merciful. But that doesn't change the fact that it is in the confessional that we're able to become closer to God, that is when we're at our best, when we reconcile ourselves. It's incredibly humbling to think that people like Mother Teresa and John Paul II, incredible saints during our time, went to confession at least once a week. They went to confession at least once a week because they understood their need of reconciliation to God. And it was then that they were at their best. So as Jesus gives this parable to these tax collectors and sinners, to the Pharisees and to the scribes, justifying why he's with the sinners, understand that most of the time, we're in the category of tax collectors and sinners. And often we can kind of look at other people from the side of being the Pharisees and the scribes. That we need to look at confession as when we're at our best. That God gave us this gift. That if we want our sins forgiven, the place in which that happens is in the confessional. It's like this gift is just sitting there. You know, you have a bunch of presents under the Christmas tree. It's just sitting there. But it demands a response on our part, namely by going to confession. If we want to receive this gift, it is received in the confessional. So let's understand that sometimes we are the lost sheep. We need a shepherd who will come out and get us. And the way in which he gets us is in the confessional. That the confessional isn't a place in which condemnation happens. It's a place where love and mercy is, where we're seen at our best, not at our worst. That we need to be reconciled to the flock, And it's through that that we're able to grow in our relationship to God. And it all starts from the confessional.